Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Maddie Bolaños in San Francisco, and here are your state headlines. Uprooted from Oakland, the Athletics are headed to Sacramento starting next season. The team will share a 10,000-seat minor league ballpark with its primary tenant, the Sacramento River Cats. That's for at least three seasons, while their permanent stadium in Las Vegas is under construction. River Cats owner Vivek Ranadive, who also owns the NBA's Kings, would like this to be a sign of things to come.
This will be the city of the future, and it starts with sports and entertainment. So right now we have an NBA team and we'll have an MLB team. And in the long term, I'd like this to be a place with a permanent MLB team and other teams.
Sacramento still has an NBA team, of course, only because Ranadive stepped in to save it when it was threatened with relocation to Seattle 11 years ago. Some Oakland fans have suggested that experience should have made Ranadive more understanding of their plight.
Well, what I would say to them is that, look, we've kept this team for a few more years in our state capital. They're going to be welcome over here. They're going to see some world-class baseball in a very intimate setting. And hopefully it'll lead to a permanent team over here.
During its time in Sacramento, the Oakland A's will drop the Oakland from the team name and be known only as the A's or the Athletics. The owner of the Half Moon Bay Mushroom Farm, where a mass shooter killed farm workers last year, is being sued by one of the victims' families. The loved ones of slain farm worker Jose Perez are announcing their lawsuit today against Xiamen Guam of California Terra Garden. It alleges Chun Li Zhao had a history of violence but kept his job. Last year, he killed a total of seven workers at the mushroom garden and another farm. A federal judge has ruled that the U.S. government is responsible for the welfare of young people who've gathered in encampments on the California side of the U.S.-Mexico border. KQED immigration editor Taiki Hendricks reports.
The Border Patrol didn't create the camps where thousands of children and adults who entered the U.S. illegally are waiting to request asylum. But the judge found agents often direct people there and limit their movements. So she said those kids are in government custody. Leisha Welch with Children's Rights is on the legal team that asked the court to intervene.
Children were being left to fend for themselves outside in dangerous conditions without adequate food, without water, without shelter, without medical care.
Under the judge's ruling, Border Patrol will have to move much faster to get kids into safe and sanitary conditions as required by a long-standing legal settlement. For the California Report, I'm Taiki Hendricks.
Now to Kern County, where wildflower season is in full swing. Permitted volunteers are spreading out across the Indian Wells Valley to pick as many flower species as possible. Those will be displayed all in one room for the nearby Maturango Museum's annual wildflower exhibit. Reporter Caroline Chaplin tagged along.
We've got a lot of flowers right here that we don't always have here. Little teeny guys. And we will start with those.
I'm heading into the field with 90-year-old Judy Breitenstein, one of the flower collectors.
First of all, enjoy them. Don't step on the little ones.
She's been participating since the 1950s, when this exhibit was just a flower show put on by the wives of officers at the nearby military base.
I got a ribbon for a violet one year.
Some of the women took botany courses and turned this event into a scientific effort to catalog the plant diversity of the Indian Wells Valley.
Beautiful.
Isn't that gorgeous? Did you find it?
It was on the side of the road.
It's got a nice deep root.
We stopped to bag a pink and white plant called desert calico.
It's got prickles. It's very well protected to things that would graze off of it. And it's lost a few subsidiary roots, but not many. Means we had a lot of rain up here this year.
Collectors drop off hundreds of plant samples at the museum.
Ouch, man, that is a thorny little beggar.
Where volunteers like Susan Prazak place each in its own vessel.
Pickle jars, jelly jars, Believe it or not, those were probably little liquor jars like what you'd get off of the plane.
Then it heads over to botanist Naomi Fraga to get ID'd, sometimes under a microscope.
So here is the nutlet of Pectocarya setosa, and you can see it has rounded edges. It does look different when you look at it under the scope. You can see a lot of detail.
Finally, it gets a label and grouped next to its closest relatives.
It's the time of year where you get to see a lot of hidden diversity.
It's not quite a super bloom year, she says, but the room is still a concentrated desert experience of smells and colors. It lasts as long as the flowers do, just this one weekend. For the California Report, I'm Caroline Champlin in Ridgecrest.
And now to a preview of our sister show, The California Report's weekly magazine, featuring deep dive stories and documentaries about the Golden State. Here's KQED's Bianca Taylor to tell us what's on the show this week.
This week, KQED's Erin Baldessari takes us to her hometown in the heart of wildfire country. She spent years reporting on climate change and housing, and now she's finding herself confronting the same question she's been asking other people. How do you live in a place that's getting more dangerous every year?
Thinking about the work our neighbors are already doing felt really reassuring. But there's something else that's been weighing on my mind, and it's all the other ways climate change is altering this landscape. The many burn scars and the dying trees. I'm wondering what it's going to be like to live and raise my daughter in a place where my own memories are constantly clashing with new realities.
You can hear the rest of Erin's story on our show later today.
Thanks, Bianca. Tune in to the California Report magazine on their podcast or on your local public radio station. And that's the California Report for Friday, April 5th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Christopher Beal, Brendan Willard, and Seal Muller. Our producers are Billy Cruz, Keith Mizuguchi, and Bijan Siavoshi. Our senior editor is Angela Corral. Our vice president of news is Ethan Tobin Lindsay. And our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. I'm Madi Bolaños. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who are working to ensure that people, communities, and the planet can flourish. Stanford Medicine, comprising its School of Medicine and adult and children's health systems, working together to advance knowledge and improve lives. StanfordMedicine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy works to create a healthy, resilient, secure world for all, on the web at theschmidt.org.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.